Lesson 28 will deal with the role of the Holy Spirit within the church and in the world. It is called the mission of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the heart and the essence of the gospel, the good news. But there would be no good news without the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Without the Holy Spirit, there would have been no Jesus Christ, no redemption, no evangelizing church. There would have been no tidings of great joy to be shared by the whole people. When the angel Gabriel announced that Mary would become the mother of the Savior, she inquired, "How can this be?" Gabriel reveals the Holy Spirit as the architect of the Incarnation. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence, the holy offspring to be born will be called Son of God. What occurred involved the divine and the human, the divine person of the Son and the human person of Mary. They freely became instruments of the Holy Spirit, who brought about the union of the Son of God with the human nature formed in the body of Mary. The Holy Spirit effects the union between the divine and the human natures. Jesus Christ was the result of this union. The Son of God existed from all eternity, but Jesus Christ came to be in time. Jesus Christ came into being through the docile obedience of the Son of God and the Virgin Mary to the operations of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ became the Son of God's glory shining in this darkened world. Jesus Christ is man of the Holy Spirit. His entire life and mission will be directed by the Holy Spirit. I have found a man after my own heart who does all that I ask him. Immediately, the scriptures emphasize that any human being related in any way to the life and mission of Jesus Christ comes under the power of the Holy Spirit. We read, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Of John the Baptist, we hear, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And again, Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied. Of Simeon, who recognized Jesus as the Messiah, we are told that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He came to the temple now, inspired by the Spirit. All four gospel accounts note the relationship of the public ministry of Jesus to the Holy Spirit. The public ministry of Jesus begins with the Holy Spirit being poured out upon Jesus in a unique and a particular fashion at his baptism by John in the River Jordan. John the Baptist gives this testimony, "I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from sky, and it came to rest on him." When the scriptures speak of the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus, it carries the connotation of abiding with him on a permanent basis. As a human being, Jesus possessed a human soul. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in his soul. This is quite significant because it implies an abrogation of a decree promulgated in Genesis, "My Spirit shall not remain in man forever, since he is but flesh." The scriptures indicate that the public life of Jesus will be under the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When we are told that immediately after his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, then returned from the Jordan and was conducted by the Spirit into the desert 40 days. In Acts, Peter preaches that Jesus first received the promised Holy Spirit from the Father. To Cornelius and his household, Peter said, "I take it that you know what has been reported all over Judea about Jesus of Nazareth, beginning in Galilee with the baptism John preached, of the way God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good works and healing all who were in the grip of the devil, and God was with him." The Acts speak of Jesus instructing the apostles he had chosen through the Holy Spirit. Luke writes that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the source of his earthly joy. The humanity of Jesus Christ became not only the receptor and the reservoir of the Holy Spirit, but it would one day become the dispenser of the same Holy Spirit to mankind. We read in John, "On the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and he cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Let him drink who believes in me. Scripture has it, from within him rivers of living water shall flow.'" Here he was referring to the Spirit, whom those that came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit as yet, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. John the Baptist testified, "The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'When you see the Spirit descend and rest upon someone, it is he who is to baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" Jesus was quite conscious of the fact that as a result of his life, the greatest possible gift would come to those who believed in him. He told the disciples, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, since it neither sees him nor recognizes him. But you can recognize him because he remains with you and will be within you." Jesus goes on to identify the paraclete as the Holy Spirit. "The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will instruct you in everything and remind you of all that I told you. When the paraclete comes, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father and whom I myself will send from the Father, he will bear witness on my behalf." Here the person of the Holy Spirit is clearly distinguished from the person of the Son and the Father. One sends another. The Father and the Son will send the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Paraclete is a Greek word that implies more than any English word can contain. It implies more than any Latin word can contain. When St. Jerome sought to translate paraclete into Latin, he found it impossible to adequately do so. Therefore, he carried the word over into the Latin Bible. We can only understand its meaning by studying the operations of the paraclete. Jesus implies that the presence of the Holy Spirit is more important to his disciples than his own physical presence on earth. "I tell you the sober truth. It is much better for you that I go. If I fail to go, the paraclete will never come to you. Whereas if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus implies that the Holy Spirit will work within the souls of his disciples in much the same way as the Holy Spirit now works within the soul of Jesus. The coming of the Holy Spirit will bring a good to the souls of men that the physical presence of Jesus could not achieve. We now know this to be the personal sanctification of those who believe in Jesus. As Paul wrote to Titus, "He saved us through the baptism of new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he lavished on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might be justified by his grace, become heirs in hope of eternal life." You can depend on this to be true. The Holy Spirit is the substantial love of God personified. The Paraclete is the divine love existing as a person. He is a sanctifier because he pours out the love of God into our hearts. His Spirit makes Christians' discipleship a reality. The Holy Spirit creates within the spirit of men a taste for the things of God. The Holy Spirit is himself the gift of peace promised by Jesus to his disciples. "Peace is my farewell to you. My peace is my gift to you." Peace is not a thing, nor a condition, but a presence, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is peace because the love flowing from his presence unites man with the Father. What sin divided, the Holy Spirit unites. As a consequence of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples of Jesus become, according to the Hebrews, sharers in the Holy Spirit, men and women who tasted the heavenly gift and have tasted the power of the age to come. This sharing in the Holy Spirit has certain radical effects upon the bodies and souls of the disciples. Referring to men once saved, once slaves of sin, Paul writes, You have been washed, consecrated, justified in the name of Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Are you not aware, Paul writes, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, the Spirit you have received from God. You are not your own. You have been purchased and at a price. So glorify God in your body. Paul clearly teaches that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit affects the body as well as the soul. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will bring your mortal bodies to life also through his Spirit dwelling in you. Jesus confirms that the Holy Spirit will not only work within the souls of his disciples, but it is the mission of the Holy Spirit to work within the world. And he will use the lives of the disciples of Jesus to accomplish the work. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you are to be my witnesses even to the ends of the earth. The disciples were warned not to begin their mission without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Wait rather for the fulfillment of my Father's promise. Remain here in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Once having received the Holy Spirit, they immediately went forth, but with the Holy Spirit always in the lead. It became clear to the early church that the gospel must be proclaimed in power of the Holy Spirit, or else it would not be effective. It must be proclaimed to men and women open to the Holy Spirit, or else it will be resisted and rejected. The scriptures constantly warn us that if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. God made men free, and he will not save them without their willful cooperation. By his death on the cross, Jesus merited for us the presence of the Holy Spirit within our soul. The gift of the Holy Spirit to the baptized symbolizes and contains the entire grace of salvation. Indeed, all the power of heaven lies within the soul of the baptized. But that power is not impersonal. It is not the force. It is not like electricity that we need only to plug into. The power is a divine person, a person with a mind and a will, a person called the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, a person by nature and operation, totally spiritual and not easily discernible by persons totally earthly and unspiritual. The Holy Spirit desires we meet him in a personal encounter. We meet him in our souls in the same love in which he meets us. We ought to seek through prayer to know the mind and the will of our divine guest. He has an express will in relationship to the entire church and to each of us personally. Paul told the Galatians, God lavishes the Spirit on you and works wonders in your midst. We need to sensitively recognize the holy inspirations we experience within our hearts as emanations of his holy mind and see them as expressions of his holy will. We need to recognize the power and the desires within our own will to accomplish good as loving power flowing from the will of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize the gifts we express, the works we accomplish as resulting from a partnership, a communal operation of two friends flowing from love with the purpose of building up the body of Christ in love. Paul admonishes the Galatians, we are told to walk in the Spirit. For one who calls themselves Christians, this means that what we do and what we say must include the Holy Spirit as the wine must taste of its own grape. God bless you. This concludes chapter 28, lesson 28.